Truman Capote was interred yesterday. And the Undertaker's paying a severe price for it. And what else? I said, you know, life's going on. I had a weird experience. I'm walking down Connecticut Avenue yesterday, and suddenly I see this guy waiting for a bus. And I look at his face, and he looks familiar. Little guy, about 5'5". I said, hey, buddy, don't I know you from someplace? He looks at me and goes, oh, no, you don't know me. I don't know you. Just wait for a bus. But I looked at the guy. He wouldn't meet my eyes. Something about him said all over, if I took off those polyester pants he was wearing and put on black pajamas, if I took that umbrella out of his hands and gave him an AK-47, I knew I had seen that guy back in the days when the name on my uniform said Grease Winelli, but everybody knew me as Sergeant Fury. Coin 3, 1967. We were taken prisoner. Shapiro, DiLorenzo, Robinson, Telecheki, Wozniewski, Protopic, Fivish, Perez, Fitzpatrick, all of us taken prisoner. And they made us play a Russian roulette. They made us play and they bet on it. They bet on it as they slid the gun with one bullet in it back and forth. Well, eventually I managed to talk him into loading three bullets into the gun, and I managed to overpower and blow away our captors. But not before Wozniewski was killed. And one of the guys got away. One of those commie maggots got away! And as I got on the bus behind this guy, I was certain this was the guy. I'd have bet my life on it. My hand went to the knife I always keep in my boot. Immediately, I figured I'd slit his throat there on the bus. But what if I was wrong? What if it wasn't him? What if it was just some poor slob on the way to the laundromat? So I followed him. I followed him to a restaurant. He walked through the door of the Ming Chow Palace. And he put on an apron. Satisfied that he was going to be there a while, I went across the street to a phone booth. And I dial up the guys. I got a conference call between Shapiro, DiLorenzo, Robinson, Kalachecki, Prokopic, Fibish, Ferris, and Fitzpatrick. I said, hey, guys, I think I found him. They said, who? I said, you remember that time? Remember that time when they got us and the rats were in the cages? Remember that one guy that was slapping our faces? Every time we'd hesitate with a gun, he'd say, hold on! Remember that guy? He's over here in the Ming Chow Palace. Come on, get over here. Sweet, pronto, pronto, pronto. Move it, move it, move it. And sure enough, all the guys came over. And they were all wearing big overcoats, even in the heat. I could see the bulges under the overcoats. I could see the bulges in the big sacks they were carrying, loaded with explosives. I said, come on, boys. Let's go have lunch. We walked through the door. There he was. I said, table for nine.
He said, oh, okay, table for nine. Right this way. Shut up. We have table.
Well, we sat down at the table. We lit up camels. I looked at the guys. I said, well, boys, what do you think? They looked at the guy, and one by one, they all responded the same way. It's him. The restaurant fortunately had stupid music playing. You could hear it over the loudspeaker system. So fortunately, they couldn't hear the sounds of bolts clicking, of rounds being forced into clips, of grenades being passed out under the table. The table literally rocked with the ordnance that we passed out underneath. I waited until each man winked in his own way. And then we all pulled back the bolts. Finally, that maggot walked over and said, "Ah, are you ready to order now?" I stood up and I said, "Yeah, we're ready to order you into the resurrection! Open up!
Cut him down, boy! Get him down!"
I cut the dishes off the shelves. I blew away the bottles behind the bar. I knocked the tables to toothpicks. I had the fish heads flying and the mama-sans crying. We blew away the light fixtures. I said, "All right, cease fire, cease fire!"
I walked over to where the initial fullisade caught the maggot. He was lying there, brutalized from head to toe, but he was still breathing. I grabbed him by the shirt. I said, "Hey, you remember me? You remember me?" I held him right to my face. I wanted him to know. I wanted to know where he was getting it from. Suddenly, the realization swept over his face. He remembered that game we played so long ago. I said, "Well, maggot, you lose." Then I dropped him to the floor. I stood there for a second. We all stood there. Smoke curling out of the barrels of our guns. Finally, I said, "All right, we gotta move. Let's go, 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 go." We ran out into the street. Perez was behind the wheel. I said, "Come on, get this thing going. Let's go. Go, 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 go." I said, "Holy jeez, I forgot something. Turn around. Come on, Perez, let's go back. Come on." We just drove around the block in a circle. When we came around, the place was gutted with fire. The other employees were stacking the food and what didn't bust out in the street. I grabbed the bazooka, handed it to Robinson. I said, "Robinson, why don't you take out the enemy supplies?" He said, "Be my pleasure, sir." And he put that bazooka on his shoulder. I threw around in the back and tapped him on the helmet. He turned that baby loose. Incoming! It was incredible. We just stood there and looked at the debris in the streets. Some old lady passed by and said, "That was awful. I saw what you boys did there. You destroyed that place and all the people in it." I just smiled at her. I said, "Well, ma'am, when I say no soy sauce on my food, I mean no soy sauce on my food."
They will rock you.
29 minutes before Jenny or DC 101.